Imagine walking through a forest where every creature is speaking, the elephants rumbling in frequencies too low for human ears, wolves coordinating hunts with subtle body language, killer whales maintaining family bonds across generations, and realizing we've been missing these conversations our entire existence. This is the revelation at the heart of Carl Safina's groundbreaking exploration of animal minds. For centuries, science maintained a rigid barrier between humans and other species, dismissing animal consciousness as mere instinct or anthropomorphic projection. But what if this divide was always artificial? What if we've been surrounded by thinking, feeling beings all along, their inner lives as rich and complex as our own, just expressed through different bodies and languages? The evidence is overwhelming, from elephants who mourn their dead and wolves who show mercy to defeated rivals, to killer whales who maintain lifelong bonds with their mothers. These aren't just behaviors that mimic human emotions. They're expressions of consciousness that evolved alongside our own, sharing the same evolutionary roots and neural foundations. When we deny animals the capacity for thought and feeling, we aren't being scientifically rigorous. We're ignoring the fundamental principle of evolution itself, that complex traits develop gradually from existing ones, not appearing suddenly and exclusively in humans. Everything that makes us human, from emotions to intelligence, evolved from animal predecessors through continuous processes. Our physical structures and systems exist on evolutionary continuums traceable through countless species. Brain scans reveal core emotions originate in ancient brain circuits we share with mammals, birds, and reptiles. The genes for mood-regulating hormones like oxytocin emerged at least 700 million years ago when animals became mobile and needed experience-based decisions. Even the nematode C. elegans, with just 302 nerve cells compared to our 100 billion, possesses nearly identical genes underlying nervous systems and produces a similar motivating chemical to oxytocin. When we deny animals human-like emotions, we ignore that our emotions are inherited animal emotions using inherited nervous systems. Fear, aggression, well-being, anxiety, and pleasure are shared feelings originating in shared ancestry. The compelling question isn't whether elephants or wolves are conscious, but what consciousness is like for them, how they experience their world through their unique sensory and cognitive adaptations. In Kenya's Amboseli National Park, elephants move purposefully across the landscape, their wrinkled skin telling stories of ages traveled. The basic unit of elephant society is a female and her children, revealing an undaunted female intelligence when most assumed males led. Age brings status, as elephants respect experience. Matriarchs over 35 ensure better survival through their knowledge of water sources, vegetation patterns, and social connections. Their problem-solving abilities complement their compassion, demonstrated when a mother and aunt dug a ramp to free a baby from a waterhole. Their grief runs deep, too. Dame Daphne Sheldrick, with decades of experience raising orphaned elephants, states that an elephant can die of grief and believes elephants are emotionally identical to ourselves. 2 years after Teresa's death, her family finally returned to their playful behavior. They had healed from their profound loss. In Yellowstone's Lamar Valley, Wolf 21 embodied perfection, a supernatural presence with unmatched fighting skills, yet remarkable gentleness. Though never defeated, he never killed vanquished opponents, displaying rare magnanimity. He was gentle with pack members, often pretending to lose wrestling matches with pups, showing intelligence and confidence. The alpha male stereotype of aggressive dominance misrepresents wolf reality. True alphas display quiet confidence, with their defining characteristic being restraint. This minimal violence promotes group cohesion, essential for survival. Wolf packs actually contain separate male and female hierarchies, with females typically making most key decisions about travel, hunting, and denning. No two species are more alike than wolves and humans. We share striking similarities, particularly between male wolves and men. The combination of helping procure food year-round, bringing food to babies, raising young over several years, and defending families is extremely rare, essentially limited to human and wolf males. And wolves are actually more dependably faithful to these responsibilities. Once thought to be a single species of ferocious predators with dominant males, research since the 1970s has revealed killer whales comprise multiple distinct types, likely separate species, with remarkable behavioral diversity. Some create waves to wash seals off ice, while others exclusively eat fish or hunt sharks in open water. Resident killer whales have a unique social structure led by senior female matriarchs. Unlike elephants, where young males leave, both male and female killer whales stay with their mothers for life, a mother-child bond unmatched in any other known species. Killer whales demonstrate an urge to protect and assist not just each other, but sometimes humans and other species. Humpback whales have been documented intervening in killer whale attacks, with one even lifting a seal onto its chest for protection. Most remarkably, cetaceans sometimes seek help from humans, suggesting they recognize we possess minds and capabilities that might assist them. The captivity era began with tragedy. Between 1962 and the mid-1970s, catchers removed about 40% of the southern resident killer whale population, roughly 60 whales from a group of fewer than 150. One-third died within their first year. The captures were brutal. Families were separated, pregnant females died with their unborn calves, and a quarter of captured whales bore bullet wounds. Even in captivity, killer whales showed remarkable compassion. When starving transient orcas arrived at Sealand, a resident whale named Haida pushed herring through the netting to feed them, an act of transcendent mercy between groups that never interact in the wild. One emaciated whale, after 75 days without food, charged the net in desperation, got stuck, and deliberately released air from her lungs to sink and die. Graham Ellis, who worked with captive whales, observed that after a couple years in captivity, all orcas start to get a bit nutty, some becoming lethargic, others neurotic, and potentially dangerous. For these intelligent creatures, social needs often proved more important than food itself. The boundaries between humans and other animals blur when we truly understand them. All species share fundamental traits while maintaining their uniqueness, like old high school friends who've gone separate ways but retain common roots beneath surface differences. We share biological similarities, four limbs, the same bones, the same organs, the same origins, and lots of shared history. More importantly, we share a universal quest to live, to raise our young, to find space enough for our lives, to survive confronting dangers. These drives appear across species, mother bears protecting cubs, wolves hunting cooperatively, elephants mourning their dead, all echoing human experiences. What would change if we recognized the consciousness surrounding us? Perhaps we'd understand that we're not separate from nature, but part of its grand conversation. The greatest story isn't human exceptionalism, but the realization that all life connects through an unbroken chain stretching back billions of years. In a world of disappearing species and habitats, this recognition isn't just philosophical, it's essential for our survival.